Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I know precisely why you are so unhappy.
You gotta stop thinking so negative, son.
Snap out of it.
I'm happy. Hooray.
I'm Jim Byrne. Well, there's a song we like to teach our kids when they're little. They're usually learning it in preschool or even Sunday school, and it goes something like this. Well, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Well, of course, all the kids clap their hands because it's fun, and they probably really are happy at that moment in their lives. They have no idea what kinds of pressures and demands they'll face as they get older. However, we grown-ups know all about deadlines and budgets and how the busyness of everyday life can rob a family of the joy it once knew. Well, during the next half hour, I want to show you how you can find contentment regardless of your circumstances. This is an important conversation, so keep it right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference makers like Dr. Jim Byrne since 1899, I'm Roger Marsh. Welcome to the Homeward broadcast. It's good to have you along today as we get into part two of a conversation on finding contentment regardless of your circumstances. Pastor and author Wayne Cadero joins us from Hawaii once again, and that's why he's content, because he lives in Hawaii all the time, right? You know, Homeward is here because of your prayers and faithful financial support. We have an affiliation with Azusa Pacific University on an academic level for the Homeward Center and the degree programs that are offered there. But when it comes to this broadcast, everything that we do here in terms of preparing seminars, getting the radio program out, the daily devotional, all of that is funded by gifts from listeners like you. We really, truly appreciate your tax-deductible donations right now. And now here's Dr. Jim Byrne.
Well, your circumstance may not change, but your attitude can change. That makes all the difference in the world. I'm Jim Byrne. Welcome to Homeward. Today, we're talking day two with Wayne Cadero. He's the senior pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's the president of New Hope International, a ministry dedicated to developing leaders and planting churches. And Wayne is just an all-time great guy. Had a background in youth ministry, now doing wonderful things in Honolulu. Wayne, welcome back to our program.
Well, aloha, Jim. It's always great to be with you.
We're talking today about developing contentment and our attitude and how we deal with contentment. And in your book, Rising Above, you have a quote by Leo Tolstoy. Happiness does not depend on outward things, but on the way we see them. What do you mean by that?
Well, actually, it's, you know, it really comes from Matthew 6:20-22, which says, the lamp of the body is the eye. And if your eye is clear, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eye is bad or dark, your whole body will be filled with darkness. And when he says the lamp of your body is your eye, he's not talking about your eyeball. He's talking about the way you perceive life, the way you perceive events and circumstances. And if you perceive them correctly, it will cause you to grow. Your body will be filled with light. But if you perceive or see them negatively, define them poorly, as everybody's against me, nothing is going right, I'm a worm, then your whole body will be affected by it. It's the way you define circumstances that makes a world of difference.
And isn't it amazing, even in a family, you can have one child, same circumstance, but can be positive, and you can have another child who can be negative, and really, in some ways, it is the way that they perceive the circumstance, isn't it?
That's right, and I think Chuck Swindoll said, you know, I'm convinced that life is made up of 10% what happens to you and 90% how you perceive
right.
What happens to you.
Right. You know, when we think about contentment, I was reading a paragraph in your book and I laughed because I think I'm pretty content. And then it said, if you've complained in the last 6 months about your education, your abilities, your appearance, your finances, how busy you are, your boss or your age, well, then contentment is an issue with you. And I went, well, I guess I do have a problem with that. Is it a learned trait to be content?
Absolutely. You know, it says, Paul the Apostle says that, and he says, I have learned in Philippians 4 to be content whatever circumstance I'm in, whether to be in abundance or be abased. That is something we must learn. And there's no class on contentment. You never took one of those in college.
I sure never did.
Yep. And we just don't learn that well. But the scripture says it is a learned attitude.
We talk about intentional. I mean, how do you learn that? You say contentment is an inside job. I want that so badly in my own life. I want it for my family. I want to teach it to my family. But sometimes it's hard to make it intentional. What do you, you actually do, practically speaking?
Well, one is, you know, you take it based on the scripture, whereas James 1 says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And that salient word is consider it, which means you got to figure a way to see this thing as something that is beneficial. Consider it all joy. So it doesn't mean it's going, your first response is, oh, this is fun. You've got to figure out a way to say, this is beneficial. It is not something that is comfortable and neat. But so basically the first step is you instruct your mind by the scripture to define things the way it needs to be defined, that's positive, life-giving, redeemable.
You know, you talk about cultivating, and really what that means is you have to cultivate just like you would a garden. It's something that you're cultivating in your mind all the time.
Yes, that's right, because your mind is always going to go to the negative. That's just the human condition. And our heart will say, well, that's a bummer. Mm-hmm. And then you say to your mind, wait a minute, it may not be a bummer. That's just how people are. That person might be having a bad day. Don't I have bad days? So this person is speaking out of his exasperation, not out of his compassion. So you've got to be able to give people margins and give them grace, because I'm going to need it too. So I just talk back to myself, and I instruct my mind to think through things correctly. Otherwise, your mind will take over, and you're in deep trouble.
We're talking with Wayne Cadero today. We're talking about developing contentment from an excellent book that he has written called Rising Above. Wayne is the pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii, a church that is a very large church, but is also now planting churches all over the place and doing a great, great job. As we talk about this intentional lifestyle, Wayne, it seems to me that with children, a lot of children always want more. You know, they're never satisfied with enough. And then I think about the adults who are their parents, and they kind of have the same thing.
Yeah.
And so they're struggling with that, even when it comes to the, you know, to the finances and any of those kinds of things. How do you know when enough is enough?
That's a great question, and that's something everyone will have to wrestle with and come to grips with, because especially with our children, we have to remember this as parents. You know, we're going for the third job, we're going for the next deal, and our intention is to provide for our kids, so we always exonerate our busyness based on our intention. Our intent is good, but the bottom line is often we sacrifice our family on the altar of success. And our children see us industrious and staying out late and being absent dads. And then we see that they want more. They're pushing for more. You give them a dollar, they want five. You give them 10, they want 20. And we get upset because they're greedy. We have to remember this. You will teach people what you know, but you will ultimately reproduce what you are.
Great, great comment. And for many of us, it's just we want more. It does start with parents, and it starts with us as adults teaching our children really what true contentment and what biblical contentment is all about.
And establishing what the most important cornerstones in life are. And it may not be how much silver I've got in the bank. It may be the health of relationships that you have between people. I mean, you take a look at, just stop at a funeral sometime,
right,
and listen to what they say that's most valuable about the deceased. They'll never say, oh, Joe Blow, man, he had a lot of money, he had three bank accounts, he had money on this offshore thing, whatever it might be. They never say that. They'll say, what I appreciated most about Joe is that he loved his wife. He loved his kids. He had friends that trusted him. Those are the most important gems of life. And a lot of times we leave the most sparkling gems. And as Tolstoy also once said, he said, all that glistens in life is not necessarily just gold. They're sparkling gems in relationships and other things. And we miss that. We go after fool's gold. So we've got to make sure we establish right foundations for our children.
Contentment, in fact, is freedom, wouldn't you say?
Oh, it is the beginnings of the doorway of freedom, because you can be content with little and you'll be happy. I just came back from Sri Lanka, and it's a third world country, and those children have nothing. The tsunami wiped out everything. And these little kids, they're playing with seashells now by the ocean, and they've got sticks and they're playing a little game. And you know what? Nobody can tell them they're not content. They're happy as can be because they've got little, but they understood the secret of contentment.
Well, when we come back from this break, I want us to have you teach us how we can become more content And I know we'll have some great conversation. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking with Wayne Cadero. He's the senior pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's the author of Rising Above, and we'll be right back. I'm Jim Burns.
Rising Above is a book that Dr. Jim Burns recommends often and with great passion. The book came out a few years ago, and sometimes it's in print, sometimes it's not. So if you want to find out more about it, go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast section, look at today's program listing. You'll find Wayne's name hot linked, and then just go ahead and click on there, and you'll get all the information you need about that book. Also, if you are a parent and you are looking for a little contentment because of the fact that your kid's going to drive you crazy, how about Jim's book, Confident Parenting? It's a great resource to kind of instill the confidence or reinvigorate the confidence that you need to be the parent your kids are truly craving. And you can go to homeward.com, get complete ordering information there. And when you do order Jim's books from Homeward, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry, and we are completely listener-supported broadcast outreach. And now, once again, here's Dr. Jim Burns with the conclusion of his conversation with Wayne Cadero.
Welcome back to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about developing contentment. You know, your attitude makes the difference, and that's what we've been talking about, how you can cultivate an attitude of contentment. Today we're talking with Wayne Cadero. He's the senior pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu, Hawaii. Wayne, right before the break, we were talking about, you know, some of the issues and the negative sides of contentment, but, you know, they're all of us, me included. We want to say, well, how do we become more content? You have a quote where it says, we must all suffer one of two pains, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And let's move it to discipline here. What do we do? How do we become people who can develop this contentment in our own life as well as in our kids?
Well, Jim, one of the most important factors in that is what you focus on. What is your life all about? What is your bottom line? What do you want the most out of life? What do you want to achieve? And a lot of people, it's success in the eyes of the world, financial independence, and that's what the world gives you. They teach you that. They inculcate. They drive. It's a mantra. But as you can almost hear the Lord say, but it must not be so among you. We've got to rethink what our goals are. Because what you focus on will help you to determine the pain threshold and other things. For example, let's say you're a football player and you got to make this touchdown. You've got to do it. And you're going to get hit by the left from on the right, but you're going to get up and you're going to get back in the huddle and you're going to try it again and again and again. Because your cause, your goal is so fixed, you're not worried about someone coming and pushing you on this side or hitting you on that side. Your goal is fixed. But if our goal is leisure and nobody give me any pain, You'll never make a touchdown. You'll be angry at everybody who runs into you, and you'll complain because it's so unfair.
Well, I know that one of the answers that you say is exactly that. You say that problems are inevitable, and contentment is not the result of an absence of problems.
That's right. It's contentment is you know what God has called you to do, and you're going to do it with all your heart. I tell people, let's say we're climbing up a hill, and my wife's hat blows off, and she says, honey, go down and get it. I was, oh, come on, honey. I don't want to get your hat. I'll buy you a new one. No, get my hat. Well, then if I start climbing back down this trail and a branch whacks me in the head or my face, I'll blame her, get mad. Now, just think now on another scenario. Say we have our little 2-year-old daughter, and she tumbles down the hill. I'm taking off after her. Things can hit me in the face. That's the least of my worries. I'm going to save my child. It's the cause. It's the purpose. It's the reason we live that will define everything else. And if you're living for the wrong cause, everything will hurt, and everything will be too hard.
And, you know, and another thing that you said was problems don't necessarily build character, but they reveal your character.
They reveal it. That's right. Yeah. And so if I'm mad at every branch that's hitting me, and I'm mad because someone's having me walk back down the hill, I have to rethink. Right. Because, you see, if my goal is correct, I'm going to build character to make sure that I serve the purposes of God in my generation. That's why the scriptures are so important in doing devotions on a daily basis, so that you keep your heart adjusted, reinvented, back to where God wants you to have it, and you'll see things a whole lot better from that lookout point.
Yeah, no, it's so important. One of the things that I appreciated so much in your book, Wayne, was you talked about cultivating a grateful heart, and I loved a couple of the quotes. Gratitude is the heart's money. Gratitude unlocks the fullness of life. Great, great stuff. How do you maintain an attitude of thankfulness, an attitude of gratefulness when you do have problems?
Yeah, you know, that's something, again, you have to cultivate and you have to learn. But I really do believe that God is more concerned about my gratefulness than just about anything else.
Right.
Because he has given us so much. The very breath you're taking right now is a gift from God. Because God didn't have to wake me up this morning, but he did. And that is, you know, it'd take us a lifetime of lifetimes, Jim, to just say thank you to him who's given us so much. And he's equipped us and prepared us to be problem solvers. He's given us character, his spirit, his grace, his word, his wisdom. And he says, now I'm going to ask you to be a problem solver on this world that's crooked and perverted and filled with pain and sorrow. Go in as an answer. Go in as someone who will resolve things. And when we do, we get mad at that assignment. And the Lord is saying, no. I came to repair broken relationships. And as I have, I'm going to send you to do the same. We forget who we are, and we forget our assignment.
You know, the Scripture says, in everything you do, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And that's a tough verse when you're in the midst of being at the rock bottom or struggling. What do you say to somebody when they throw that verse kind of out? Because, you know, I can't give thanks right now. Somebody in our family just left. Somebody's ill. Somebody's hurting.
Someone died.
Right.
I see that verse in a little different way. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. What is the will of God? Maybe not a situation, for this is the will of God. What is it? That I give thanks in every situation. That's the will of God. Because if I keep my heart grateful and thankful, I will see resolutions. I will see how to resolve it. I will see a way through so much more clearly than if my heart is moping and downtrodden.
Right.
I will not see any way out. So in everything, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God for you. What is that you keep a grateful heart in whatever hits you, because you are a problem solver and you're someone to bring redemption, not someone who will just cry and give up. You're a victor, not someone who will succumb to defeat.
Well, we're talking about developing contentment with Wayne Cadero. Sometimes we just need to simply, I think, thank God in the midst of crummy circumstances, because he's in control and we're not.
Yeah, and gratefulness, Jim, does not come after you understand everything fully.
Right. Right.
It comes before that, and that's called faith. After it could be something that's called appreciation. But before you understand and you are grateful, it's called faith. Because even though both of my parents have just recently passed away, and even though it's tough on me and I'm a human being and I suffer a bad case of the normals when I go through these things, it's just hard, I keep a grateful heart that says, Lord, I don't know why this happened, but I am thankful to you that you're my God and I can trust you.
Right. And for many of our listeners, we need to hear that. You've got a little formula that says contentment equals reality minus expectations. What's that mean?
What really clouds our water and muddies our situation is the expectations that we thought it should have been this way, but we thought it should have been that way. And a lot of times our expectations are actually fueled out of a life that has no problems. It's smooth and clean and everything is pure and antiseptic and it goes our way. Basically, it's our own world and where we're God. And those expectations will cloud anything. So contentment is, here's the reality. I minus expectations of it and I stay grateful. And then I think, you know, I can be a person with a grateful heart, even though I'm going through a valley of tears.
Wonderful, wonderful thoughts. Contentment is also a byproduct of a life focused on God. Talk about that for a moment.
Yeah, as I said, so important as you focus correctly. You know, I tell people in a race, you train, if you're running a marathon, you train for that wall. When you hit that wall at about 18 miles, you've got to run through it, not run into it. And you train for that moment, so you put in the miles. And I was running a race, and I was just ready to give up, and I thought, man, I'm finished. I can't do it anymore. My muscles hurt. And then I just remembered. I said, wait a minute. I trained for this moment. This is what I've been training for. That's what I put all the miles in for. I'm not giving up. Now, I trained for this. This is what I've been training for. And we have to remember that all the scriptures, the church services, the prayers, we don't train to go on vacation. Nobody trains to go to sleep. Nobody trains to relax. We train for the moments where we need the highest amount of faith and a heart set on His grace. And when we come to those moments that seem like we can't run any further, stop and say, I can't give up. This is what my faith is trained for all these years. And you will sense a surging of God's grace and strength to help you make it through.
Great insight. As Paul said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Wayne Cadero, thank you so much for being with us. Great words of wisdom.
Well, Jim, it's always a joy being with you. Thank you for all that you do.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Wayne Cadero here on the Homeward Broadcast. And after hearing the way Jim and Wayne have been interacting, I can understand why Jim likes to go to Hawaii so much. There's a real deep friendship there and great conversation, too. Contentment, regardless of your circumstances, has been our theme. And if you missed any part of this program, remember, we stream audio at homeward.com. You can podcast our Monday through Friday edition of the program absolutely free. Go to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast button. We have a podcast tab there that takes you right to our site on iTunes. You can sign up for that subscription, and then that way, when you hear part one and you know part two's coming, you can just dial it on up in your iPod, and there you go. So check all that information out at homeward.com.
My guest today has been pastor and author Wayne Cadero, and we've been talking about finding contentment regardless of your circumstances, a very, very important subject today. One of the ways that I have found contentment, and one of the most important ways, has actually been what I call thank therapy. And I find this in the scripture in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I notice that it doesn't say give thanks for every circumstance. It says give thanks in circumstances. So as we were talking about, even in the fact that my mother passed away some time ago, I could give reasons for thankfulness in that fact that she was now with the Lord. She wasn't in pain. And for many of us, we have to change our attitude, and that's going to make all the difference in the world. Actually, three things out of this terms of the idea of thank therapy. And the first one is make thankfulness an attitude, because thankfulness transcends your attitude. Your circumstance may never change, but your attitude can change, and that makes all the difference in the world. There's a little plaque that I've seen that says, I complained because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. So many times we complain when really what we want to do is change our attitude. Our circumstance isn't going to change. Secondly is make thank therapy a habit. And what I mean by thank therapy is what we're doing in our home is we practice this all the time. We write down 20 reasons why we're thankful, and this causes contentment. I've found that in my life, when I'm frustrated with one of my children, when I'm frustrated with Kathy, when I'm frustrated about life, if I'll just write down 20 reasons why I'm thankful, it gets me off of a pity party, and it reminds me why there is so much to be thankful for, and in that, I find contentment. My circumstance didn't change, it was just that my attitude did change. Thirdly, Jesus Christ is the ultimate reason for our thankfulness. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that God demonstrated His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. I mean, this is the reason for our contentment. My goodness, this is sacrificial, unconditional love. Our response to that sacrificial love shouldn't be whining and complaining and grumbling, but our response should be thankfulness. In everything you do, give thanks, for this is God's will for you. Now, again, your circumstance may not change, but your attitude can change. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Boy, it certainly does, Jim. And everything you were sharing just now reminded me of the fact that when we as parents are wanting to have conversations about those types of issues, we want to talk with our kids about these things. I realize that a lot of times we back away from it because we think, well, gosh, I couldn't really, I mean, Jim does it so well. I mean, that's kind of like a little mini sermon about attitude of gratitude and thank therapy. How do I do that? Well, you have written a book that so many parents have benefited from. I want to mention it here before we leave the air today. And it's Dr. Jim Burns' book called Faith Conversations for Families. It's so important for us as parents, moms and dads, whether you are still married or doing the blended family, you know, co-parenting thing. It's so important for mom and dad to speak spiritually into the lives of our kids. And Faith Conversations for Families helps you do just that. It's just conversation starters. Nothing more. You can order a copy of the book Faith Conversations for Families and support the ministry of Homeward at the same time when you write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 9263. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.